Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. I hope that you enjoyed and benefited from our series, God and Cain, in Genesis 4, which ended yesterday. As we, here in the United States, prepare for Thanksgiving next week, I want to share with you that God is to be thanked. Even if you are not in the U.S. and live in some other country, tuning in on the podcast, being thankful to God is something that you will want to do. So let's talk about this. I invite you to join me primarily in the final book of the Bible, the Revelation of Jesus Christ, in order to see how heaven is permeated by the worship of God, and one of the pervasive attitudes in this worship of Almighty God is thankfulness. Thanks. Thanksgiving. So that I hope what we will do is lift our eyes up from our present circumstances, lift our eyes up towards heaven, and go there with the Apostle John as our guide in order to catch a glimpse of the consuming thankfulness that permeates our true citizenship if we are saved from our sins by Christ Jesus our Lord. What will Christians do forever in heaven? We will worship God with thanksgiving. As we will see right now as we speak, in heaven, which is a real, literal place, God is being thanked. God is to be thanked. That is the theme of God Is for the next 10 times we are together. God is to be thanked. The Bible teaches us that all people, whether a person be a Christian or not, all people are to constantly live in a spirit of thankfulness before Almighty God. Yet it should be obvious to you that you and I live in a culture. We are alive in a time in which the vast majority of people in this society are not thankful towards God. Actually, people are not really thankful, period. These days, it seems, people are so consumed with themselves, what they are thinking, watching, listening to, typing away at on their phones and tablets, that they do not even notice an opportunity to issue a word of thanks. Here is an experiment that you can run. When you enter through the door at, say, the lobby to your office building or apartment building, or getting on or off public transportation, let the people coming behind you go first. Hold the door open for them. Do not just do this for one or two people. Let a whole stream of folks come on through. As you do this, give a mental count of how many of them thank you. Better yet, when you're out there on the roads in rush hour today or tomorrow, let other drivers go first. Yield. Stop. Give them priority. Mentally note how many of them give you a friendly wave or a thumbs up or flash their headlights to say, thanks. Who knows? Maybe you will do well. Maybe. But my experience has been that most men and women and young people are too preoccupied to notice others doing something for them that merits thanks. And I have not even mentioned family, colleagues, teachers and students, clerks in coffee shops, supermarkets and stores, people we meet in places we go every day. These are people who know us. Are they thankful for us? How often do you get a word of genuine thanks from those closest to you? How often do you thank others? Generally, we live in a thankless culture. You've likely heard this cliche, an attitude of gratitude. An attitude of gratitude. Well, our experience tells us the minority has that attitude of gratitude today. Here I am talking about being thankful and demonstrating thankfulness towards one another. But our focus is being thankful for God. God is the one who is to be thanked. And when we come to the Bible, we find that God always accurately assesses the culture long before we do. If you really want to dig beneath the surface for an accurate analysis of what is going on in our culture today, listen to what the Lord says about it in the Scripture. And on this matter of people being thankful for Him, He knows, He acknowledges that they will not be. I promise we will be coming to the revelation of Jesus Christ soon, but let's make a quick stop first in Romans chapter 1. The Bible's New Testament opens with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then comes Acts, followed by Romans. And in Romans chapter 1, God Himself is assessing the culture already under His perfect judgment for sin. And in Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, the Apostle Paul writes, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened." That was Romans 1, verse 21. If you were to read Romans 1, verse 21 quickly, you could easily pass over the phrase, "or give thanks." I certainly have in the past, but recently this caught my attention. Not only do people already under the judgment of God not honor God as God, but they also do not give God thanks. When I read Romans 1, this matter of giving thanks to God seems very important to Him. The one and only true and everlasting God wants us all to thank Him. But part of His judgment on our culture is that He recognizes the vast majority of people do not acknowledge Him. To them, He does not exist. And certainly, if they do not acknowledge that God exists, then they will obviously not thank Him. They will not give thanks. So this is the context in which we find ourselves. And yet, the average American loves Thanksgiving Day, and of course, the day following, affectionately known to all shoppers as Black Friday, when all those great deals are on offer to prepare you for Christmas gifts. Imagine being God. You look down upon your creation and all the people you made and love, and yet they are largely oblivious to you. But they have a day on the fourth Thursday of November. Then they try at least to turn on a spirit of thankfulness. It barely lasts a day, and then when Friday begins, they are tearing at each other, and in some cases literally killing each other for first foot in the door at an electronics store. They're lined up early, preparing for a speedy sprint towards a flat-screen TV that is supposedly marked down. This is the kind of society we live in, isn't it? Read Romans 1. When you do, you will get an accurate assessment of our culture. And this is a global culture. I travel overseas. Trust me, America is hardly the only country descriptive of Romans chapter 1. You may be listening to this podcast outside the United States. Admit it. Wherever you are, there is a similar disregard for God, who, according to the Bible, is to be thanked. Romans 1, verse 21 again. "For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened." Okay, this is reality down here where we currently reside. But let's move ahead in the New Testament to the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. And I am going to read to you Revelation chapter 4. When you return here tomorrow, we will dig in and study this together. But with Romans 1 still on our minds, let's listen to the contrast between what's going on in heaven versus here on earth. This is Revelation chapter 4. "After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I had heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, 'Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. And he who was sitting was like a jasper stone and a sardius in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, like an emerald in appearance. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white garments and golden crowns on their heads. Out from the throne came flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was something like a sea of glass, like crystal, and in the center and around the throne, four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. The first creature was like a lion, and the second creature like a calf, and the third creature had a face like that of a man, and the fourth creature was like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within, and day and night they do not cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is to come." And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, to him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne and will worship him who lives forever and ever, and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and because of your will they existed and were created." Join me tomorrow in Revelation 4, for God is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.